This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
We're back with hour number two of Ron Segi Today, live all across the USA and around the world. And here we are, the first full weekend of the month of January and the year of 2020. Wow. I hope you had a great New Year's Day, New Year's Eve. Just been a super holiday for all of you. On our guest list this hour is Jillian Garr. Now, Jillian has penned a very good book. It's called 100 Things Elvis Fans Should Do and Know Before They Die. And, of course, coming up this Wednesday, January 8th, would have marked the 85th birthday of Elvis Presley. Could you believe that? Jane Seymour will be joining us later in the hour, and then the veterinarian of the stars, Dr. Jeff Warbert, talking about our fuzzy little friends. And that's coming up the second hour of Ron Segi Today.
Our prime responsibility is protecting our families, but we also need to protect our families' assets. For years, I've studied economics in the Bible and as a financial professional. I'm Dr. Tom Barrett. I found gold to be the best way to protect assets from a government gone wild. Gold is ridiculed by leftist elites who say it's old-fashioned and not suitable for financial planning. But gold is anything but outdated. Smart families use it as part of their retirement plans. Gold has been the only universally recognized money since the beginning of time. Precious metals are the only money in the Bible, and they're the only constitutional money. Your paper money is just government IOUs backed by nothing. No paper money has ever survived. They crash, on average, in 27 years. The dollar will not be the first to defy this law of economics. Learn more at investmentgradegold.com. That's investmentgradegold.com for your free 10-10-10 financial survival plan.
Does your car, RV, truck, or boat look faded or perhaps has some minor surface scratches? Painting a vehicle is very expensive and permanent. That's why I recommend SignZoo. SignZoo is the nation's premier vinyl design and wrap company. A 3M vinyl wrap can outlive a painted vehicle by years, and it can be removed at any time without damaging the original finish. Licensed, insured, the best warranty in the business, and over 20 years experience is just a few reasons to choose SignZoo. Whether a wrap to promote your business or change the color of your car, RV, truck, or boat, a vinyl wrap is less expensive and more versatile than paint. And remember, SignZoo services the country nationwide for your convenience. Visit their website today at SignZoo.com. That's SignZoo.com. And get ready for a brand new look. That voice doesn't need introduction, I guess. We're back live all across the USA and around the world. And I have a book in front of me that I have gone through a couple of times. And if anybody's listened to me for any length of time, they know that topic of the next guest is one that's very familiar to me. I knew this gentleman, and he was quite a guy. 100 Things Elvis Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Joining us is its author from Seattle, Jillian Garr. Hi, Jillian. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, I'm a huge Elvis fan, and I'm a singer, too, by the way, so I steal a lot of the King's arrangements. He, along with Joe Esposito and James Burton, were friends of mine. This is a great book. How'd you get the idea for this? I know that you've done one on the Beatles and the Elvis' great comeback back in 68, but what gave you the idea to do this? Because it's a great title and a great book.
Well, Triumph, the publisher, they had a series of books like this on sports teams. So, you know, the 100 Things Seahawks Fans Should Know or Cubs Fans or whoever. And they decided they wanted to get more into pop culture. So they contacted me about doing a book like this on the Beatles. You mentioned that. And that came out last year.
Yeah.
And so then they decided to move on to Elvis.
Wow.
And because they knew I'd written extensively about the Beatles and Elvis, that's how I got the gig. And I was happy to do so.
Now, I'm going to ask you an unfair question. Which one of those two enterprises was the most interesting to research and write about?
That's a good question. I don't know. For me, maybe the Beatles one was because I had always wanted to write a book on the Beatles, but it's, you know, hard to find a new angle or something different to do.
Yeah.
And I probably wouldn't have thought of this kind of angle on my own. But I thought, well, this is what you were offered, and it's your chance to write about the Beatles.
There you go.
So I was excited to do that and add to the canon of Beatle literature.
Yeah, well, and there's a lot on the Elvis literature, too. Now,
oh, boy, yeah.
Now, did you have to interview a lot of people, or did you do basically inside investigative work, like research on different subjects, like the airplanes and the cars and the records and, you know, how Hawaii plays such a big role in his life? Or did you actually go to person to person?
Well, actually, I drew on previous work, so I didn't do any new interviews for this book, but I drew on the interviews I'd done in the past, because, let's see, I've done, prior to this, I'd done two books on Elvis, and I had an Elvis column at Goldmine magazine for a time called All Things Elvis, and had written, I guess mostly for Goldmine, about Elvis. So over the course of that and in writing the books, I had all these interviews to draw from, and of course I'd built up a great library of books, which was nice. I didn't have to buy too many books because I had all the research materials here. And, I mean, you think about things like writing about Grayson. I'd been to Memphis a couple times, and so I bought the official guidebook that Grayson puts out about itself. And so I had that to look at, which, of course, would give you a lot of information on the planes and things. Of course, it's easier to find stuff online now, too.
Yeah.
It's just a big help. You could just, you know, do a search that way.
Did you visit Grayson?
Yes, yeah. Yes. I've been there, let's see, four times. Yeah, I've been there four times.
Now, do you know Angie Marchese?
No, I don't.
Okay, Angie is director of the archives. She's been on our show several times.
Oh, that'd be very interesting.
Well, it is very interesting because she's the only one that really handles the second floor storage that, of course, the public is not allowed to go to. And one of these days, I'm sure they're going to open it up because that'll reestablish that as another tourist attraction for those of us that have been there more than once, as you alluded to. And, you know, it's funny because I always thought of when the President Bush went there with the Japanese emperor, you often wondered if the Secret Service didn't go upstairs to check out that second floor. I'm sure that someone had to do that, you know?
Yeah, I would think they had to. And I had read once in a biography of the comedian Andy Kaufman that when he was touring Graceland, and he was on a private tour, that he was taken upstairs. So I wonder if over the years VIPs have been allowed to go up there.
Yeah, that's a good question. So out of all the things that you've researched, and there's a lot of stuff in here, what do you find most interesting about Elvis?
Well, I guess that he's lasted so long and still seems to have such a cultural impact that continues through the generations. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think of other artists, well, at the time Elvis was around, if you think of singers, well, 50 years ago, maybe not so good, but even 30 years ago, I mean, Glenn Miller was huge. You know, he was a huge star during his day. But yet, he doesn't really have that kind of impact. People know some of the songs, of course. Everybody knows In the Mood. But he's not out there in a way that Elvis is. And you could certainly say that musically, Glenn Miller, you know, did advanced music, did some innovative things with music as well. So he wasn't just another musician. But I think to have lasting power, I don't think it's enough to be just a good musician. I think you have to be somewhat innovative as well. And Elvis took rock and roll into the mainstream. I mean, you know, he didn't invent it, but he synthesized the things he heard, the music he heard, and he was given the platform to take it to a wider audience, bigger audience, and pushed it there. And in a way, you see the whole rock industry build up as well because of that. I mean, I don't think he was just important musically, but in the 50s, you know, they thought of rock and roll as kid stuff. Oh, it's not going to last that long. You know, Elvis wasn't going to last that long. But instead, the industry just kept changing and evolved. You know, you went from rock and roll to rock in the 60s, and it's still around. So, you know, he had a big impact in other ways besides musical, I think.
I don't doubt that in the least. There was a cultural change, not just a music change. It was the hair, it was the clothes, it was the personality, it was the macho, it was, you know, all the girls, you know, the guys loved them too. It's an amazing thing to kind of just look over from a psychological standpoint, and I have to agree with you. You know, the one thing that you mentioned about the Glenn Miller, you know, look at Frank Sinatra. Look how big Frank Sinatra was, and the fact remains that his his house isn't open for tours, his plane isn't open for tours. You know, I mean, it's not the same kind of following, and that's what's amazing. What really kind of always got me about Elvis was that, and, you know, talking to this pal Joe Esposito all the time, in fact, he used to be a business partner of mine, is that Joe said, Elvis, and I concur with this, would be surprised at what's happened over the past years.
Yeah, I think so. You hear sometimes, especially at the end of his life, he felt sort of despondent, didn't think he'd be remembered. I don't think he appreciated the impact his music had. Well, you know, actually, when you think about it, this is in my book, when I wrote about the rock and roll set that came out in the 90s, the early 90s, and how Ernst Jorgensen, who hadn't started the Follow That Dream label yet, but was still working with RCA, how they put that box set together. And he said that the expectations for it were pretty low, because even then, and this was 91, 92, I think, when that came out, RCA just didn't think it was going to be a big seller.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that, in many ways, that set, I think, really helped change the thinking on Elvis and reestablish his cultural importance. Because in the 80s, certainly you look at the CDs came in, and a lot of the CDs that were put out on Elvis were just straight reissues and not very well thought out and not even going back to the original tapes. You know, they weren't really the best quality. And he just wasn't being marketed very well. But you had someone like Ernst who had a real appreciation and love for Elvis's music, who wanted to say, you know, this guy is more than just the jumpsuit character he was at the end. He has this cultural importance, as you will hear, on this set. And, of course, you know, the set did very well. It had big sales for a box set. I mean, considering it's 5 CDs, so, you know, not that cheap then. And got great reviews. And I think that helped turn around the thinking on him.
Well, I think, really, the Elvis camp himself and Colonel and probably even RCA at some point figured that there was a waning type of a reputation that was having towards the end, because they sold the catalog of all of his songs back to RCA, not knowing that a few months later they would be worth a bazillion dollars.
I know. That's just devastating when you think about the amount of money that they lost.
Jillian, can you stay with us a little bit longer?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Our guest is Jillian Garr. The name of the book is 100 Things Elvis Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. It's a great book, and it's a fun book to read. And after all the books that have been put out about Elvis over the years, this one has a different twist to it. And don't forget, coming up this Wednesday, January 8th, you ready for this? Marks the 85th birthday of Elvis Presley. And Jillian and I will be right back with more all across the USA and around the world with Ron Sedgy today.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped 1 million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Where no one else can understand me. When everything I do is wrong.
We're back live all across the USA and around the world. We are talking to author Jillian Garr, who has penned a book called 100 Things Elvis Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Previously to this, she had 100 Things Beatles Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Now, you have touched on a lot of things. By the way, this past June 24th marked the last concert that Elvis did back in 1977. Now, you got a lot of great stuff in here, including a little bit about his cars. I own, as a result of him, a Stutz Blackhawk. And no wonder he loved that automobile. That was the last car that he was seen in, driving through the gates of Graceland the night of August 16th after returning from a dentist office. This is a fascinating recap of so many things that a lot of people will be surprised to know, including the fact that the impact, I think we all knew, about his mom, Elvis in Las Vegas, and the fact that he absolutely thought, as you and I were talking about, that he was a chosen one to be this big megastar, and was very frustrated with his movie career.
Oh, yeah. The more I think about it, I just find it astonishing that a star of Elvis's caliber did not have script approval. And, you know, apparently his manager, Colonel Parker, didn't even ask for it. I think there's a famous story that one time the studio did say, would you like to see the script and offer your opinion? He said, you know, that'll cost you $25,000 or whatever. He didn't want to look at it. And that just seems astonishing to me. I mean, can you think of any big star today that would do that?
No. In fact, what was amazing to me was that the Colonel used to have the photo shoot for the movies taken of Elvis, and then he'd sell it back to the movie company or the record label.
Yes, and they let him get away with it.
They let him get away. Now, here's something I never understood. Other than a Lifetime Achievement Award, which I think was after he passed away, the only Grammy Award that Elvis Presley ever did was for his gospel albums. I mean, I find that crazy.
Yes. Well, you know, I think if you look through the Beatles' career, they didn't get that many Grammys while they were together as the Beatles, too. Yeah, you know how these awards things go. They can be very subjective, of course, because you have people, you know, voting on them. But to not get anything, although, how do you quantify? How do you tell what the best album is? You know, I'll cut them a little slack there. But you think the work in the 50s was so important, and I don't know if he was even nominated in the 50s for anything.
It
was the Grammy, the religious music, and you think, well, what about the comeback special? And what about the songs he did in Memphis at 69? You know, Suspicious Minds and all those.
He went back to Memphis and
Chips Moment.
Yeah, wow. That was great stuff. And didn't get anything. And that was a huge comeback. They talk about the 68 special, but it really took the airwaves in 69.
Well, he hadn't had big solid hits like that in a long time.
What about the money problems? And you talk about that in the book, because a lot of people thought that because he gave away so many cars that the money was just coming in by the tons. And it really wasn't. These 3-month hiatuses that he would take
certainly did not help his expenses, which were horrendous, plus the fact that Colonel, being illegal alien, never took him out of the country.
Yeah, and had warned him to be very careful about his taxes and just not take many deductions and just pay the main bill, whereas I suppose he was able to take a personal deduction, but not taking, you know, more advantage of his position to use his money wisely. I mean, at the end, you could certainly say, yeah, you know, money is coming in this regular stream. It's just the problem was that he was spending more than was incoming. So that's where the problem came in.
Yeah. Yeah,
he had the expenses. He had the entourage. He had all the cars he'd give away at one point, you know, buying 10 cars at a time. You know, that's going to burn through the wallet pretty well.
Yeah, and then, of course, everybody around him became, I hate to say this, hangers-on, or in some cases, leeches. And that was a shame because he was very dedicated to those people. Do you think he would have married Ginger Aldrin?
I don't know. I know people like to say later, oh no. Some people say, you know, he didn't even propose to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he may well have, and maybe in the moment that he proposed to her, he did fully intend to marry her. But then who knows what would have happened if that went on. I'm not sure. I know another story that people have put out is that, well, on the last day of what was going to be his next tour, that the one that was starting at the time he died, the last dates were in Memphis.
Yes.
And that he was going to announce his engagement on stage.
Okay.
During the final show. And who knows, he might have been swept up in the moment and done that. But that's what you get a sense of in the last few years, you know, just being caught up in whatever he felt with then and not necessarily looking ahead, planning, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, more spontaneous and not a real depth of commitment. So who knows? I mean, he might have, but he might not have.
Yeah, a lot of ups, too many downs for the young man. Bodyguard book there with Red West and Sonny and those guys really put a real stake in his heart. But he was quite a unique character, and the fact of the matter is that after all these years, he still perpetuates in books like 100 Things Elvis Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. What do you think is the number one thing they should do?
I would say go to Graceland, but maybe I could broaden it and say go to Memphis.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll pinpoint it and say go to Graceland.
There you go.
I mean, it'd be nice to go during Elvis Week, too, although for the first time that might be a bit crazy. Maybe I should broaden it. I think, you know, go to Memphis with a copy of Peter Kralnick's Last Train to Memphis, which really captures the feeling of what it was like in Memphis when he was growing up there, because that's where he came from. And when you drive around the town and see how really small it is, how it, you know, it does not take that long even to drive from Graceland to Sun Studio.
No.
Or where he lived up there at Lauderdale Court.
Right.
And you just get a sense of how small it was. Wasn't that far from Lauderdale to Beale Street, where he used to go hang out. And it really gives you a sense of where he came from and the kinds of things that influenced him. Because although Memphis has changed a lot, you know, it still has something of a small town feel.
Yeah.
And I mean, for the real dramatic shift, you know, you can look at Lauderdale Courts, which is open during Elvis Week for touring. The rest of the time you can stay there. And then go to Graceland and, you know, see that jump.
Going from that pickup truck to that Stutz Blackhawk is a very, very long way to go. The book is out right now, 100 Things Elvis Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Even if you're not an Elvis fan, it's great reading. It's penned by our guest Jillian Gar. Very nicely done. You know, there was an old showbiz adage that was, and I'm sure you know this, was done in New York right after he died. And the booking agent, PR guy that was up there, when he heard of Elvis's death, first thing he said was, good career move, because nobody wants to deal with an aging star.
Hmm.
It's hard to believe, as Pat Boone once said to me, an old Elvis. And I think the fact that he died at such a young age and still had youth on his side, of course, like John Kennedy, how we remember him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
definitely.
Jillian, anytime you want to come back, let us know, okay?
Okay.
It was
okay,
fun.
Thanks.
You're terrific, and the book's great.
Thanks.
Okay. And coming up this Wednesday, January 8th, will mark the 85th birthday of Elvis Presley. That is so hard to believe. And there's more to come live all across the USA and around the world. You're listening to Ron Segi today.
Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go.
What would would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
At least one missile landed near the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. No casualties have been reported in the strike, which hit after thousands gathered for a funeral procession to mourn slain Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. Multiple sources reported on the strike, but the number of missiles that have landed was not confirmed. An unknown number of rockets landed in the heavily fortified Green Zone, where the U.S. Embassy is situated, but it was not hit. President Trump tweeted, "He selected 52 targets in Iran that will be hit very hard and very fast if there are strikes against Americans or American assets." Soleimani was killed Thursday in what President Trump said was a defensive measure to prevent imminent and sinister attacks. Iran's ambassador to the UN said the U.S. has started a military war by an act of terror with the killing of Soleimani. This is USA Radio News.
Our U.S. Constitution is amazing. It's full of what's called negative rights, designed to protect us from the corrupt powers of a dictatorship.
Like our right to worship our own God, not some official state religion.
Our right to prevent the government from seizing our property without paying fair market value for it.
Or our right to be tried by a jury of our peers, people like us, not by some star tribunal.
And that's why America has become the richest, most just society in the world.
Other countries force so-called positive rights onto their citizens. These enable one group to take from another group their free speech, money, and choice by using government force. Socialists love wielding this power over people.
Sometimes we take our freedoms for granted, but we can lose our Bill of Rights and our Constitution and become like Venezuela or North Korea, failed, brutal socialist regimes.
We need your help to spread the good news about our amazing U.S. Constitution. Help us take back America. Go to OurAmericanRights.com.
Brought to you by the American Media Council.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Warning! If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
been with us several times in the past, and we have a great picture in our Hall of Fame of her and I. She was in town a few years back, and delightful lady, talented, and just gives so much back. Joining us right now is the best, Jane Seymour. Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Ron. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for joining us, as always. I ended up buying an open heart necklace for my wife because you had made such a great impression on us.
Well, thank you. I hope she liked it. Hope she appreciated it.
Oh, yeah, very much so. It's fantastic. You know, Jane, I am just bewildered as to how you keep under control all the things that you do, aside from all of the television and the movies that you have done. But you've also started the organization KeepAnOpenHeart.com, and you also take on your mom's philosophy. I remember talking about your mom several times, of giving from the heart, and then you are named the officer of the British Empire by Queen Elizabeth and a mother of six. How do you keep up a pace like that?
You know what? I love my life. I'm just so blessed to be able to do the things that I do. And, you know, I love being a mom. I love being an actress, and I adore being an artist and a designer. And I think the best thing in life is being able to give back. I think when you feel that you can actually be of service and help other people, I think that's what makes life worth living, and that's what's so exciting about the Open Heart Foundation and about the whole Open Heart, because, you know, that's something I'm inspiring other people to do and recognizing other people who do it. And, you know, in times when everyone's having a really tough time in the world with their work and with what's going on in the world, it's great that my mom's philosophy is really becoming like a universal symbol of a way to give and receive love.
You know, I remember so many times, as I mentioned earlier, talking to you about your mom when she was still with us, and that open heart philosophy. And at that time, I was a caretaker for my mother. And it is something that is so profound, because it is a philosophy that, if you really think about it, it does not only apply to a mother-daughter or a sibling. It applies to everyone, and it's so encompassing and so strong. And boy, I cannot believe the impact of that philosophy, which you have had the ability to perpetuate.
Well, you know, the privilege I had was, first of all, having a mother who gave me this philosophy, and then through my artwork, it became an image, a symbol that I was able to translate into the jewelry. And I think, you know, what's exciting now is, now we have the foundation, we're really able to recognize public people, and also people that people don't know about, and really tell people's stories. And on K.com, you can see these amazing stories that people share and the difference it makes. And I think in a marriage, or I think in a romantic relationship, I think it's incredibly important to have an open heart, because, as we all know, love is not something that's static. Love is something that grows. Love is something that weathers the storm. Love is something very, very valuable and very important to people in whatever way you show it, whether, as you said, it's between a family member or romantically, or whether it's with a friend. You know, love is what literally makes the world go around.
And you've always said this. Wouldn't it be nice to have the kind of attitude that we have and the love that's in our heart, not to get too philosophical, around holidays, and be able to enjoy that all year round? And, of course, being able to enjoy the open heart jewelry that you get on those holidays. Let's face it, that's a beautiful gift for any time for the lady in your life.
Absolutely. I think that's the interesting thing about the open heart philosophy. It is not specific to any time of the year. It's not a Valentine or a Christmas or a Mother's Day experience only, because, you know, really expressing your love to someone and expressing that your heart is open to someone is something that you can do all year round. And whether it's through jewelry or a card or a sculpture or just expressing and behaving in a certain way with the philosophy, helping other people and being there and being of service, or being a caretaker like you are. There are so many people doing that. You know, they're, as far as I'm concerned, the unspoken heroes and heroines of this world. It's so important that we realize it's all year round.
Jane, do you still have the piece that isn't worn as a necklace? It's almost on a pedestal.
I have the original Open Heart I had made when I was working on, when I was doing Dancing with the Stars, and I still have that original piece. And but you see, the Open Heart originally started from my artwork, so there was a lot of artwork involved. Still is, you know, I still love to paint open hearts. I love to do sculptures of open hearts. In fact, we have a very large 10-foot open heart sculpture, bronze, that's going to be put in the garden. That's my birthday present for this year.
Oh, wow.
And my hope and dream is to have this sculpture in public parks and in, especially in hospitals and in you know, gardens near hospitals where people come and they have to, you know, spend those personal private moments when life is really tough and they really regroup. You know, this is an image that I've always hoped would become like a universal symbol of giving and receiving love.
Wow, what a great idea. I love the idea in hospitals or respite centers and stuff like that. Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, the number of movies, both on television, on the big screen, on the stage, the list is endless, okay? What is your latest venture?
I finished 3 movies that are coming out this year. I got one called Elixir, in which I play a choreographer, and I dance in it and sing for Lady Gaga, and I wear a blonde wig. I look quite different. That's from ABC Family, with Chelsea Kane and Sarah Paxton and Drew Seeley. That's a really fun movie. Then I have a feature film called Austinland, which I shot in England, and that's with Kerry Russell. And it's a historical movie, a comedy made by the people who made Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, wow.
And then I have a movie called The Lake Effect, which is a wonderfully moving piece, a mother-daughter piece, that's coming out on Hallmark. And then I did a very funny episode of Franklin and Bash, which I believe is coming out. So that's what's already in the can. I can't tell you what I'm going to do next because I haven't decided yet.
Now, this, ladies and gentlemen, after raising 6 children, how are the twins? How old are the twins? This is what's really going to be depressing.
Yeah, the twins, it's amazing. The twins are bigger than me. They are 16 years old.
Oh, jeez.
I think one of them is 6 foot tall. Chris Keach is a baseball player. He's a left-handed switch-hitting catcher and pitcher. So he pitches and catches right-handed and switch hits left-handed. And he's in the Cardinal Scout team right now, so that's pretty exciting. And then Johnny, his twin brother, has his own band called Plead the Fifth. If you want to hear his music, go to jamesseymour.com or pleadthefifthmusic.com. You can currently download it for free and listen and watch the videos. And he's becoming a rock and roller, and he's really great.
Wow.
He's been touring in England and up and down the West Coast. And then the other kids, again, if you go to jamesseymour.com, you can see what they're doing. Sean's a fine art photographer showing in galleries. Katie is an actress who's writing and performing a great comedy. Jenny just had a baby, and she's in marketing. And Kaylin is in building, and he just had a baby. So they're all busy, and they're all doing well.
And you got to be one of the hippest moms I know. You got to be the hit of the block when it comes to being a hip mom.
I'm a grandmom now. That's
grandma.
Scary.
Yeah. My grandmother certainly didn't look like you. Also, keepanopenheart.com, we want people to go to.
Absolutely. Keepanopenheart.com is an amazing site where you can read people's stories. These are real-life stories of how keeping an open heart has impacted their lives. And it's just wonderful. You know, it's so inspirational. And we would love to have your story so we can post them. So if anyone has a good story, please send it to us.
I'm going to do that.
And then, you can just on keepanopenheart.com, it tells you how you can send it. Or even if you send it to jamesseymour.com, I will send it on there. But keepanopenheart.com will tell you how you send your story. You can send it visually on video, or you can send it written, and we'll put it up there. And then there's actually a sweepstake right now. If you go to k.com, you can hear about that. There's the opportunity to win some beautiful necklaces and some prizes, and also a trip to England for 2.
It's always great when you're on the show with us. You're a classy, talented, super lady, and I'm proud that you're a friend of our show.
Thank you so much, Ron, and thank you for having me on again. Thank you.
Our special guest, Jane Seymour. She is such a nice lady. It's hard to believe she has 6 children. We want to remind everybody to check into our website, which is ronseggi.com. That is spelled ronseggi.com. When you get on the home page, you will see an icon that says Listen Live. And if you hit that, you can hear our latest show on demand 24/7 in the event that you missed it on the radio. Also, Also, we have another website called Segi Sings, S-E-G-G-I-S-I-N-G-S, and there you'll learn all about our concert tour with a 15-piece orchestra. We're going to pause for a second. There is more to come on this first weekend of 2020 with Ron Segi Today.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at St. Jude.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Live all across the USA and around the world, it's Ron Segi Today. We're talking to a very lovely lady and a very interesting one,
you.
Too. Joan Kramer, along with her partner David Healy, with their company Top Hat Productions, have penned a book called In the Company of Legends, recapping their career in public broadcasting, talking to all of the legends. I mean, we're talking about the golden age of movies and television. We're talking about the fact that they interviewed Mr. Sinatra for a Spencer Tracy tribute on PBS, and he came out there with a blue blazer, gray pants and tie, very nice, very gentlemanly-like, and you gave him a bottle of champagne, which he was kind of shocked to get because he didn't realize you knew it was his 70th birthday, mm-hmm. and then you stole from him.
Mm-hmm. I stole paper towels. People think I'm a little loopy, but I went into the ladies' room and I washed my hands and I saw that the guest towels on the counter were brightly colored paper towels. And I thought, these are pretty. When am I ever going to be in Frank Sinatra's house again? I'll take two. If you can wash your hands and throw them out. I wasn't stealing his towels.
Right.
I was stealing paper towels. So I put two in my bag, and then I thought, oh, my God, I wonder if that guard has a monitor in this bathroom.
Right.
Well, no bells went off. So when we got back to Los Angeles, I had a cold. I was getting a cold, and I fell asleep in the car and totally forgot about the paper towels until that evening when David came into my room to write questions for the next day's interviews. And the next day we had, I don't know, Robert Wagner and Lee Marvin and a bunch of people to interview the next day. And David came into my room and said, let's do a little bit of work and see if we can just get something done. And we were ready to collapse because we'd left early for Palm Springs that morning. And we finished, and David said, I think I've got to go to bed. And I said, me too. And he was just about to walk out the door when I said, oh, wait a second, I forgot to show you what I stole from Frank Sinatra's house. Trying to be funny.
Yeah.
David, who's British and very calm under most circumstances, I never had a reaction like that from him before or since. He said to me, Joan, what did you take from that house? Are you out of your mind? We're going to get our knees busted.
I said,
David, calm down. It's two paper towels. Relax.
That is a funny story. I love that story. When you go in and interview these people, who asks the questions? I mean, are you on camera too?
No, we ask the questions. One of us sits next to the camera, which is a typical format that people use in television interviews. You've seen it.
Oh, sure,
times.
Absolutely.
We ask questions in such a way that you don't need to hear our questions.
Right.
People have to answer in complete sentences.
Mickey Rooney and I worked together on a couple of different occasions.
Mm-hmm.
It was an experience. It was me, Mickey Rooney, and Ed McMahon, and we were doing a Come to the USO thing. And Mickey was not what you would call the most cooperative individual. But for some ungodly reason, and probably because I agreed with everything that he said, we got along marvelously together, all right?
Mm.
However, I understand, and you kind of confirmed this, that this was kind of an unusual experience for me because he normally isn't that cooperative. In fact, you come right out and say it was a disappointment.
Yeah, he was a disappointment. Kate found him, as she said to us, I knew I'd find Frank, and I knew I'd find Mickey, and Mickey would rue the day if he didn't do this for Spencer. But Mickey then called us and said, we were meant to go to his home. And he called and he said, listen, I can't do this. I'm working and you're not paying me.
Yep.
And so I said, well, that's very true, Mr. Rooney. I mean, but, you know, we're really going to be very disappointed if you're not on the pro. He said, well, I'm working. You know, I can't do anything about it. Well, we knew since Kate booked him, we could not just give up. We had to find a way to accommodate him. And so we asked the production manager of the Warner Brothers, on the Warner Brothers lot, of the television show Murder, She Wrote, because we were interviewing Angela Lansbury. And we asked the production manager if there was any corner that we could interview Mickey Rooney in. And it was one thing for us to be accommodated for Angela Lansbury, but they didn't have to be nice enough to let us bring Mickey Rooney onto the sound stage. But they did. Well, while we were setting up, I mean, he was ranting about, I mean, we didn't ask him any questions that would lead to this. He just began to rant about how badly he was treated by Hollywood, how badly he was treated by the studio system, on and on and on. And then the camera rolled, and it was a snap like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yep.
He suddenly became saccharine sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I adore Kate Hepburn. I adored Spencer. He was so wonderful. But, you know, it was platitudes that had no meat.
Yeah.
We kept trying to say to him, so tell me, how did you work together with Tracy? Did he ever give you advice? After all, you know, he was a kid in Boys Town, right? Well, he was just wonderful. I mean, I just loved Spencer. I mean, it went on and on and on with love, love, and love.
Yeah.
And in the end, you know, we had to cut the show with very little of him in it.
Good thing you didn't talk to him after that. If you'd have seen that so much fell on the floor, he would have gone crazy. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about Jimmy Stewart and Johnny Carson.
Mm-hmm.
You get this interview with Jimmy Stewart. You have a coup. Johnny Carson, who is known to be somewhat aloof and sometimes not very cooperative from the standpoint of doing things outside of his show.
Never with us.
And he was so grateful, he invited you to his home in Malibu. You
mm-hmm.
toured that gorgeous house that he had there.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes you downstairs and he says, you know what, Joan? Maybe Cary Grant would be a better choice because he worked with Jimmy Stewart. And, of course, the whole thing, I'd love to have Cary Grant, but Johnny Carson.
Mm-hmm.
Only to find out that you thought he was almost like testing you. But the mm-hmm. fact is that he ultimately agreed to do it. He called you at a hotel room and said, look,
right.
I'm in. But
he said Cary Grant's out of town, so I guess you're stuck with me.
You're stuck with me. Johnny Carson, you're stuck with Johnny Carson. What a tough
mm-hmm.
break. The funny line that I loved in this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Shortly thereafter, Cary Grant died at 82 doing a show in Iowa.
That tour that he was on, that was why he was out of town.
That's why he was out of town. And Johnny said, you know, I got a little concerned on how I was going to say this to you, but I wanted to say when you picked up the phone, I asked Cary Grant to host your show, and he dropped dead. I mean, Carson is the best.
And you know what I said to him at the time? This is not in the book, but I'll tell you. I said to him, Johnny, that's not funny.
Yeah.
And he said, yes, it is.
Joan, come back anytime and talk about this. This is
oh, good. Let me know when. I'll be right there.
Oh, boy, I love this. It's called In the Company of Legends, penned by David Healy and our guest, Joan Kramer. This is a fabulous book. The stories are on and on and on. Would you come back? We'll talk about some of the other people in this book, like the Reagans and the Newmans and stuff.
Anytime you wish, just call me and we'll set it up. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much. You're wonderful.
Thank you so much for saying that. Coming from you, in the company that you have been, that's quite a compliment.
Well, I think you joined the company.
Oh, wow. In the company of legends. And Joan thinks I'm one of them, so hey, let her think that, right, Joan? It's out right now in hardcover. Get it. We'll be back with more with Ron Sedgy today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Would you like to hit the range tomorrow with a brand new gun? Because the United States Concealed Carry Association wants to give you a free gun right now. That's right, completely free. The USCCA is here to give every responsibly armed American the education, training, legal, and financial protection they need. And today, they're giving you not one, but four free chances to win $1,000. Simply text GCN to 87222 to get entered now, and you'll get four free chances to win $1,000 for any gun you want. Text GCN to 87222 and get entered today. But remember, these free guns won't be around forever, and you can't win if you don't enter. So don't miss out. Just text GCN to 87222 and get your four free chances to win now. That's GCN to 87222.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Taking advantage of one of the most valuable assets to advertise? Your company vehicles? Well, if not, you should. The least expensive way of promoting your business is with SignZoo, the full-service graphic professionals. From design to installation, your vehicles will shine with your logo, services, phone number, website information, and more as it goes down the road. And we aren't talking about paint. We're talking about the latest, most popular, inexpensive, and easily changeable graphic wraps. Why go through the expense of painting your message when SignZoo can wrap it? SignZoo's licensed, insured, and professional graphic designers service the country nationwide, and their warranty is the best in the industry. Your entire vehicle becomes the most effective form of outdoor advertising. Cars, trucks, buses, boats, SignZoo can wrap them all, and 100% satisfaction is guaranteed. Visit their website today at SignZoo.com. That's SignZoo.com, the leader in vehicle advertising and color changes for over two decades. Already we're wrapping up the first show of 2020, and I hope that you enjoyed the past 2 hours. I want to thank you and all of our guests for being part of this first show of the new year, and our guests include, from Three Dog Night, Chuck Negron, author Joan Kramer with her book In the Company of Legends. I also want to thank Jillian Garr, who's penned this book called 100 Things Elvis Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. And don't forget, as I mentioned earlier, Elvis Presley would have turned 85 this coming January 8th. Also want to thank our beautiful actress Jane Seymour and Dr. Jeff Warburg. Well, we'll be looking for your company come next week when we're going to do it again, live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Sedgy Today. Till then, I'm Ron Sedgy, hoping you have blue skies and green lights.